Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. I'm the host, Ted Maxwell, and this is the Engagement Hour. With me behind the glass is the incredible Matt Neely. I threw incredible in there, Matt. I knew you'd like that. Who always makes sure to keep me on time and on target. The Engagement Hour is meant to encourage you to get involved. We've been stressing the need to vote over the last several months, and I think most folks did that very well. And we had good turnouts. By all indications, elections went smoothly, and everything went as we'd want it to. The most important thing is that you had your opportunity to state your voice, your position, and what you thought the future of our country should look like. We have a lot of rights and responsibilities as U.S. citizens, and there's a lot of different ways to get engaged and involved. We talk a lot about our first responders, including our teachers, our medical personnel, talk about those that serve in the military. But the one that gets the most attention, and sometimes I think is the hardest lifestyle to live, is that of our elected officials. They're always under the microscope. There's always campaigns that are difficult and rough and sometimes filled with a lot of information that I think on both sides sometimes they look at and say is not exactly accurate. But today I have the honor of bringing back with me the current sitting congressman for CD6, who has also won re-election, and he'll be back, Mr. Juan Sisqumani. Congressman Sisqumani, it's great to have you on the air with me.
Great to be on, Ted. Thank you.
Well, it's always good. I know you're back in the full throes of being a congressman that lives in Arizona, and for you that means traveling home every weekend and trying to spend quality time with your family while also quality time with the community. And it was great to see you out at the Arizona Heroes Memorial dedication this Saturday. I appreciate you showing up there and continuing to support all the those others who are engaged through being first responders, military members, veterans, and also acknowledging the sacrifices of the Gold Star family. So it's great to see you out there.
Well, thanks. No, it was a great event. I mean, you and I talked there. It was packed. A lot of the community that was able to be there, not just the Oro Valley community, obviously, but from everywhere. And it was just a nice event to be at home. I flew home Friday night, and then I was at a soccer game in the morning, and then I went to the dedication. Then I had a coach a football game after that, and then I was at the TMC gala as well. That was all on Saturday, and took the red eye back here to Washington. So we've been here all week trying to wrap up some work before Thanksgiving. So it's nonstop for sure, but happy to be on, and always happy to be back at home as well.
Well, I'm not sure how the flag football game turned out, but I know.
Oh, we won, Ted. Come on.
I just had to put that there. Talking to the true influencer in the Sisqumani family, your wife Laura had mentioned her soccer team's been doing pretty well, and she said the flag football team's, you know, it's had its moments this year.
No, we're 8-0. We're heading into the playoffs as undefeated, the only undefeated team in our division. So we're the number one seed, and we'll see how we test against the best teams this weekend.
Well, that's good, and I know you enjoy that. I know your family enjoys it. You know, your kids are great supporters of your activities, and they're always there. I know my wife, Katie, loves to just find your daughter and the rest of the kids and sit down and talk with them. So it's great to see the whole family out there supporting what we do, and I guarantee the community is greatly appreciated. But we said you're already back to work. And not only are you back to work, but there's already activity going on. So if you could tell me a little bit about the status and what it's going to mean to veterans of the Elizabeth Dole 21st Century Veterans Healthcare and Benefits Improvement Act.
Yep. So we had, we yesterday, so when we flew in, the first vote that we took was on this bill. And this has been in the works for a while. Okay, this has been in the work for adding on to this bill for a couple of years, and we finally fine-tuned it this year. We wanted to get it done before the October period at home, but we, you know, it just the timing didn't work out. So as soon as we got here, this is one of the first orders of business. It reforms and improves the VA. It addresses veteran homelessness that I know that you've been very involved in as well. It expands the access to job training and employment opportunities. This goes in line with another bill that I passed as well, the Vet Tech bill, that makes sure that our service members are trained in high-tech careers before they leave active duty. So, and it also modernizes the delivery of care and benefits, whether in the VA or at home or in our community. This was probably one of the biggest pieces of it. It's community care for our veterans. I hear that all the time. Now, I'm proud to say that the VA in Tucson and Southern Arizona, they've made vast improvements, and the majority of people that give me feedback on the hospital there, it's positive. And if it isn't, I always like to hear as well and make sure that we can help them out. But a lot of our veterans are very happy with the care they receive there, but sometimes it's just the wait times are too long or they don't get the specialized care in their area that they need. So community care becomes very important for our veterans. So these are the kind of things that deals with in this bill. It had broad bipartisan support. There were only nine no votes out of the entire House. So this is obviously something that you don't find a lot of when you're here right now in terms of the bipartisan support of bills like this. So proud to have led this bill in such a broad bipartisan way.
And this is a bill that you sponsored and moving forward. And just to kind of remind everybody how the process works. So this is now passed through the House of Representatives. What's the next steps and how fast do you think it will get incorporated?
So this goes to the Senate now, and this has a very good chance of making it all the way to the president's desk. Obviously, like you said, we won the majority. We won the election last, just a few weeks ago. We're still operating under this current Congress's numbers, which is we have a slight majority in the House. The Senate is still under the Democrats, and obviously President Biden is still in the White House. So this bill has to go through the Democrat-controlled Senate and then onto the White House for the president's signature. I'm optimistic that this can make it all the way. The Senate is working on their version as well, and we should be seeing something come out of this. This was our sixth bill that we've passed out of the House, making us one of the most productive members of Congress overall, definitely in the freshman class, but even overall. Because last week, we passed another one of my bills, the Critical Mineral Consistency Act, making copper a critical mineral, adding it to the list of critical minerals. Very important for our state, obviously. That was last week. So we've been back for 2 weeks, and this is my second bill that we passed.
Well, that's great. No rest for the weary. There's no doubt about that. Appreciate that continued support on behalf of all the veterans and folks who have served for your continued efforts to make sure that we take care of the veterans, especially those who are in need, because not all veterans, one, make it to retirement, and not all veterans don't struggle when they get back into society. And I appreciate all the focus that you've had on their care. So real quick one. Like you mentioned, this is what's referred to often as a lame duck session now, because there's going to be a change in the administration. There's going to be the House will remain in Republicans' hands, and there you'll get the trifecta when you come back of the majority in the Senate as well. But what do you see, any other opportunities between now and the change in the administration?
Yeah, so the main, you're right, it's lame duck session now, and different people have different focuses here. In my view, I am adding more and cramming in the bills that I've been working on during the year. Like I said, we just passed two in the last 2 weeks. I've got one more that I'm really, really working hard to get through. This is the largest tribal water agreement in U.S. history with the Navajos, the Hopis, and the San Juan tribe up in the northern part of the state. This is highly important for the entire state, but definitely for the entire country, but definitely for Arizona. That's one more that I'm working on, hoping to be able to get through. That would add clarity and transparency to the water distribution among these three nations, but also to our farmers and our ag community and development. So that one would have high impact. So I'm still working on that one. That's in case of my approach here. But overall, the House, we got to get the funding bill through. This is the most important topic of conversation right now. We have a CR that ends at the end of December, on December 21st. We cannot let the government shut down. I've been very clear on that always. And we're going to work hard to make sure that we don't let that happen. But that's a low bar to have, just to say, we won't allow it to shut down. We have to pass these funding bills and make sure that we're funded all the way through September 30th, and then we can talk about the next year's budget. So it's an option between that and doing another CR, and both are up in the air right now. And what do we do?
So if you're a gambling man, which I'm going to assume you're not, I might be, but if you were, do you think you'll get to a budget before then? Do you think this is going to be a case of another continuing resolution moving forward?
We'll know more when we get back. We started having appropriation meetings this week. Of course, the appropriators, I'm in the appropriations committee. We've done all the work on these bills throughout the entire year. So a lot of work has been put in on this. I am of the belief that we're ready to pass whatever we need to pass at the end of in December this year, and then start with a clean slate in 25 and give the White House and President Trump a clean slate to work with, be able to immediately advance the 100-day agenda that they've set forward and move on to that business. I don't see a lot of benefit into letting this year's work spill into next year and probably slowing down what the White House would want to do right off the bat. So I'm of the belief that that's a better approach. There are mixed feelings on this on our side of the aisle, even on that. The president, the speaker has indicated openness to other avenues. So we just got to keep working on that. And whichever one it is, again, not ideal to have the CR, but a shutdown is not an option for me.
Well, Congressman, that's a great place and a great tease to move into the what is possible. We're going to cut to a break real quick, and that's the voice of Congressman Juan Ciscomani, CD6 representative for the state of Arizona. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and stay with us past the break as we will come back and talk about what next session as possible. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm Ted Maxwell. You're listening to the Engagement Hour here on 1030 The Voice. I'm still here, but unfortunately, Congressman Ciscomani is not. Juan had to run to a appropriations hearing of all. So he just talked to us about how getting the budget through by the 21st of December is one of the priorities. And I got both a text during the last interview, and then he had to disappear and get into appropriations. One thing I think sometimes when we get down into the conversation of how successful congressional members of Congress are and such, we forget about one of the most important roles they have quite often is the committees that they're assigned to. And as a freshman congressman, Congressman Ciscomani was the only freshman on the Appropriations Committee. It's not always one that folks in Congress like to take, because the reason is it requires negotiations, it requires give and take, it requires you to, the thing they are required to do is to issue a budget every year. And there's a lot of give and take that goes back and forth with it. And when you walk out of that appropriations, you're going to come out with multiple different bills covering all the different appropriations we need throughout the country. And quite often, there's going to be stuff in there that both parties are going to oppose throughout almost all the bills. But as a member of appropriations, you have to go out and sell it. And that sometimes puts the individual members of Congress in tough positions, because when they go back to their districts, they're going to hear about it. So I do want to give Congressman Ciscomani a few more kudos for the work he's doing back then, especially being willing to step into such an important, valuable commission. And quite often it does result in our state and particularly our region being able to get some funding for things we need. So just want to thank Congressman Ciscomani again for joining us today. We'll bring him back and talk to him more about what's possible in the future with the what they refer to as the trifecta, the Republican-controlled House, Senate, and presidency. So we'll see where that's going to go, and hopefully we'll have him back on and he can discuss that. So right now I'm going to jump to soon-to-be Senator Vince Leach again. He's joined me. I showed up a little early in the studio, and that was good. So when Congressman Ciscomani went away, so Senator Leach, glad to have you in the studio with me.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so Senator Leach has served 8 years previously in the Arizona State Legislature between the House and the Senate. This will be, he'll be coming back after a two-year hiatus. But I believe during those 2 years, he still had his eye on the ball and what was going up there. So he's going to bring a lot of experience in Southern Arizona. We're pretty blessed to have leadership and folks on both sides and representation on both sides of the aisle up in the Senate right now, to include TJ Shope in LD 16, Vince Leach in LD 17, and then David Gowen and Senator Gowen, and they've all worked together in the past. So I'm sure we're going to have both majority leadership and leadership on the Democratic side of the House there as well. So just real quick, yeah, a campaign again. It was tough both in the primary and in the general, close races in both fronts. Why did you decide you wanted to do it again?
Well, I didn't go away in that 2 years. I continued to look at what was going on and how it was going on, not being there your remarks on one are timed and well placed. I served all 8 years on appropriations and all 8 years as the vice chair. So I was involved not only in setting the budget, but then the next step going out and selling it. So I knew the numbers fairly well. I knew what we were going to end up with. I was just talking to some tax people this morning coming down from where I lived to the studio and talking about bills that are might be going forward to kind of get an idea of what I'm going to do. But I came back because we had a $2.5 billion surplus. The last budget that we put together resulted in a $2.5 billion surplus. At the end of that cycle, that 1 year cycle, we were $1.3 billion short. I wasn't there. I wasn't in those meetings. But something happened on the way to a balanced budget and making a solid position for the state of Arizona. So that got my interest. We had also put money in for water. That money disappeared. Still don't know where that money went to. And then we also eliminated a border strike force. And I've been asked many times, you know, what are the two or three things that you want to deal with? And I just gave them to you. The border strike force, don't know why it went away. It shouldn't have gone away. Obviously, the public didn't think it should go away with the passing of the referral that just happened here on Election Day. Our budget needs to be put back together so that we're still attractive for people to come here, set up business, live, work, and play, and raise a family. And then water. There was just a report that came out with an ungodly amount of water that is now available that the Bureau of Land Management put out. And I'm not going to remember. I should have written that down. I'm not going to remember the amount of acre feet of water. Now, the problem with that water is it's a tad salty. It's brackish water. We've got a lot of salt under the surface here in Arizona, and so we'll have to figure out how to deal with that. But for those people that say we don't have water, we do have water. We may have to treat it to make it so it can come out of your shower and come out of your faucets. So I know that's a roundabout way to getting to why I ran, but all of those things never left my docket. And so as soon as I started campaigning on those issues.
Yeah, to say you were not engaged would be a misstatement. You were keeping your eye on very closely. Obviously, you still have friends up in the legislature for the last 2 years. And when we get back, we may talk a little bit about LD 17. But before we go to this break right now, I do want to just give my thoughts to the John McClain family. He put up a worthy campaign against you. It was a good race. He's a dedicated public servant throughout his career and lifetime. And our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family as they work through the tragedy that his at the hands of a drunk driver were.
And I don't know when we have to go to break, but I will
10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds. I will echo that. I knew him in a different way. And when you're in a campaign, it's one issue, and we're down on time. But fine gentleman, handled himself well on the circuit.
Absolutely. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. Matt Neely's taking care of the Billy Joel on the backside of it today. My guest with me today, this morning, is State Senator-elect. I guess you've been a state senator, so it's Senator-elect, so I'm just going to stick with Senator Vince Leach, who represents LD-17, which, for full disclosure, is where I live. It's really important, I think, to talk a little bit about LD-17, because in 2010, when the Arizona Redistricting Commission was going, the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, who I represent, pushed really hard to have a relatively safe D and Republican district in Pima County. As the second largest county in the state, we worked last time. Why? Yes, you had a little bit of Pima County, but we didn't have any almost all-inclusive Pima County districts, and so therefore we had to work with other legislators to get bills heard. And we thought it was very important that county the size of Pima County should have a safe district in both. Well, sure enough, a lot of criticism, a lot of complaints. It led the LD-17's results, surprised some people last time. And my response the whole time was, just give it a couple of years. Let things settle out. These districts sometimes need to get a life of their own. And I think what you experienced in this, despite being a +9 Republican district, that's only the difference between the Republican and the Democratic voters. It doesn't consider the independent voters.
Right.
And so this year, your race was extremely close in the general. And a single-shot Democrat, Kevin Volk, was able to also garner one of the House of Representatives seats. So now the leadership or the representation is going to be from both parties in the House for representing LD-17, and then you'll still be carrying the mantle in the Senate. So what are your thoughts now, having been through a couple elections in this new district, of what the district makeup is like?
Well, first of all, Dave Meehl, who was on the commission, the redistricting commission, was that he was right from the beginning. That was, and I was on leadership team for the Senate at that point. And when I saw that he put his name in the hat, I told the then president, Karen Fan, we want to make sure he's on the commission. And Speaker Rusty Bowers picked him up before and named him before we had our selection in the Senate. Glad to see him on. One of his focus early on was to have a district, Republican-centric district, that focused on Pima County. And so taking the old, what was LD-11, and moving that piece that was in Pima, namely Picture Rocks, Marana, and Oro Valley, and just kind of turned it around. It goes up the mountain, and then comes down through Tanga Verde and to down to the freeway in Vail. So he was clear about his intention right from the very beginning. And then on the other side, he just went as far as the redistricting committee, just went as far north as Saddlebrook Ranch. So you still had Saddlebrook, which really makes a quite cohesive district. And it's Republican-centered. There's, as you mentioned, it's a +9 district. It does not take into consideration the independents, and you have to work with them. There's people can argue one way or the other, but there's a lot of disaffected Republicans over the years that have gone independent, and there's the same way on the Democratic side.
Oh, absolutely.
Where Democrats have gone, and they say, I don't want to go there. So they became independents. And so we, being my campaign team, worked very hard to making sure that while I had a conservative message, that I didn't go so far, so conservative, that I was going to drive out people that left our party for being extremely conservative, or maybe some say crazy.
So how is that going to impact your approach at the state legislature?
Well, it was clear after the 22 election. Well, first of all, the 22 election, well, people said, well, how did that happen, Vince? I mean, you were up there. You were 8 years in the up there in the appropriations and finance and the things that you were able to accomplish with the help of others. Well, one thing is we were in session until June 25th. Early ballots came out on about the 14th of July. And so there was absolutely no campaign time. So people, Oro Valley knew me, Miranda knew me, Saddlebrook Ranch to some degree, but certainly the folks in Tanga Verde and in, on down Houghton and Harrison, Vince who, you know. So, yeah, so I made, once I decided and made the commitment, I spent a lot of time in, and I think if you look at the precinct numbers, you'll see that my time going down and circuitous ways to get to that part of the district paid off. I spent a lot of time down there meeting people, going to events, showing up. Yeah, you just got to show up. You've got to meet people. You've got to shake hands. That's what's going to affect, and I think that's going to pay off. Because I went from a school district system in the old LD-11 that we have some good schools, we certainly didn't have schools of the performance level of Tanga Verde and Vail. Those by far are always at the top of the list. That doesn't put down AmFi, doesn't put down Murata. We all know what shape TUSD is in. But it just, there's another level. And I think I told somebody this morning on the way down, we were talking about that area and those schools. That's why it's fresh in my mind. You can tell that they have good schools because they don't have a plethora of charter schools and private schools. The parents are saying that their kids are getting educated. So
that sometimes changes the discussion then on the funding for education throughout the region, because it can be successful. The public schools can be successful. And we've talked about in the past, too, you can starve a school into failure. You can't fund them into success. So that's, you can't, right, just throw money at them and fund them into success. But if you starve them, they're going to fail. So
I would add, because one of the things that came up in the discussion about schools, contrary to public belief, Arizona is about 32nd in teacher pay. We're not 108th, a la 50th.
And people forget that was in part with the in part due to the
20 by 20.
Your 20 by 20 back in your can't remember if it was your last year or it was the last session.
I was still in the House.
Oh, you're in the House. So it was still, even before the Senate.
Yeah. I was still in the House when we had 70,000 teachers in red shirts.
Oh yeah, it was a big event. It had a lot of pull. Again, it showed the power of using your voice, but sometimes you can't overplay
the one unfortunate
power
thing is in some school districts. In some school districts, we saw the money go. The teachers did get their raise. In other school districts, not so much, and that's unfortunate. But I will say, to that point, the last thing that I think the legislature needs to do is be in the employment business. That's a school board job, and we need to leave it there.
Yeah, I would actually, I mean, not actually, not surprisingly, I agree with that. The school boards, and it's the responsibility of the voters and the citizens and organizations to monitor what the school boards are doing and then make change. That's the purpose of our system. If you don't like your elected officials, the members of your school, that includes all the way down to the members of the school boards, which sometimes those aren't paid jobs, those are thankless. I'm not sure I'd qualify the ones for our state legislators as paid jobs. You are paid, but did not anywhere near the amount that you should be, but that's not why I brought you on to talk about that side of it.
Let the record show that General Maxwell and I agree on one
subject. Yeah, I believe the pay is still $24,000, or has that gone up?
That's the same.
Yeah, $24,000.
Yeah.
And again, you're supposed to be out by the end of April, but that's happened how many times in the last?
It happened early on in my career up there.
When Senator Biggs was the.
Senator Biggs
was the Senate president.
Governor Ducey came in. And
first year, wasn't it?
First year, we were out in 60 days.
Yeah.
60 days.
Hasn't happened
But
since.
We had no money. Right. We had no money. It's really easier being in budget all those years. It's really easier when you have no money, because people would come in and say, I'm sorry, it's a good program. I love it. If we ever have money, we should consider it. But we don't have any money. When you don't have any money, it's
absolutely
it's kind of like your household. If you have no money, you're not going to buy a new car.
So you've said that you've always been part of APROPES and finance and all that, and I saw that they've announced the Arizona State leadership roles again, and I mentioned TJ Shope earlier, who's LD16, and he's been announced again as the president pro tem for another 2 years. So what committees have you been assigned to, and what do you think your role and influence is going to be?
Once again, I'm on appropriations. I'm not the vice chair this time. I'm a member. So I can enjoy researching the bills and being ready to go once the bills hit. I'll be part of the budget in that. A member, typically the appropriations team sees the budget first, or what's going to be presented to the members. And it's typical of chairs of appropriations to have the votes of all the Republicans on the committee before he presents it to the because otherwise you've got a wedge started for either further cuts or further additions to the budget. Secondarily, I'm vice chair of finance, which is it is the tax area, whether we take your tax or whether we give tax back. I worked this morning on the way down looking at a couple of tax bills that will reduce the amount of tax that you have to pay for programs that are used by only the major cities. It goes back to the old GPLET days, government property lease excess. When I was talking to the people, I said, man, they said, well, you need to run this bill because you started it all many, many years ago. And it was a fight, but we got it through. And it was, you know, the interesting thing about the GPLET bills and that's probably in the weeds for the majority of your of your listeners. But the main point there is that it was unanimous. It was a unanimous vote to make a major tax change in the House. And I remember calling then Minority Leader Katie Hobbs, and she said, because we had a meeting set up, and she said, you don't need to come over. We've looked at the bill, and the House went majority. Everybody went on. You don't have to come over and talk to us about the bill.
That's a great lead into the next session. That's the voice of soon-to-be State Senator Vince Leach. He's with us today on Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And when we get back, we will discuss what's possible in the legislature, state legislature this year. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. Finding some of the finer piano keys that Billy Joel slam on. Decided to ask Matt to play some Billy Joel this morning because it was back in January, it was either January or December of 1983 or 84 that I went and saw Billy Joel at up in the arena in Denver in a driving snowstorm. Literally, the snow chains broke, took the paint off the side of my car, but somehow we were in the second row, and the entire first act just had the first session just had Christine Brinkley running back and forth with her camera in front of it. We were made to stay in our seats. It wasn't until after she went off stage, at the break, she disappeared, and we were able to go lean on the stage and see it. But it was an incredible concert, and it's a great memory. One I'll never forget. Now, something I'd love to forget is the senator who's with me today, Senator Vince Leach, representing LD17 in the next state legislature, is wearing a Wisconsin Badger shirt.
Oh boy.
And he went as far as asked me if I was watching the Wisconsin game yesterday. And I said I'd already seen one Wisconsin game this year, and I really didn't want to see another one. But
you're rubbing it in Senator.
But he's going to make sure that we don't forget what the Badgers did. But they got off very lucky last
night.
That's
a heck of a thank you to your constituent, Senator.
Yeah, they did. And if we – well, this is way off on sports, but they fired the offensive coordinator for the football team after that game. That was the lowest output in yard. You know, I moved here for all the things that Arizona offers: weather, taxation, and escape the high taxes of Wisconsin. But there's something about Wisconsin sports that I still... Now, I am a Diamondbacks fan. My wife is still a Brewers fan. And I have season tickets just so everybody knows out there in Radio Land, I have season tickets for the Wildcats, Wildcats football.
Well, that's okay. We just don't need to play Wisconsin in basketball for a long time. There's several games that
several games.
We don't need to go there. So let's talk about something a little more exciting. That's going to be Wake Up Tucson.
This is not ESPN.
No, that's going to be Wake Up Tucson. Or sorry, tomorrow morning with Christy Smoan, followed by Jumpin' Tucson and Grant Kruger. As the what I'm hearing is he's a rumor that he's going to have a member of the County Board of Supervisors on. So he's trying to close that deal. But please listen in to both Wake Up Tucson and Jumpin' Tucson tomorrow when you get back. So when we went to break, Senator, there was no doubt that your focus as a state legislature has always been about the finances, the money, how it's spent. You mentioned you moved here in part because of low taxation. And you mentioned that when you left, there was a surplus. In the first year that you weren't there, the budget had to be a bipartisan budget because you had a Democratic governor. And the way that was done was allowing the members to have some member specific projects where they basically spent down that surplus. And then this year it created a whole different challenge. So going in from your perspective as being focused on the finances, what do you think's going to need to be done in the legislature to get to an efficient, effective budget this year, knowing you've still got a Democratic governor, you've got wider margins in both chambers. What's it going to look like this coming legislative session?
Well, it's not going to be a slam dunk on either side. I mean, we still have a split government. There's always been a thought within the public, the voting public out there, that split government is better because, left to our own. what Mark Twain used to say something, you're never safe when the government's in session. It'll be challenging. I got a good report this morning that our income, our personal income tax, even though we went to a 2.5% flat tax, we are only... that was about a $2 billion tax cut, and I don't want to get too much into the numbers, but I live those numbers. A $2 billion tax cut, we're only $600 million short of being back in our tax collections where we were when we were at the 4.5%, 5% level. So that's paying off. People continue to move here. Businesses continue to move here. I was happy. This is bipartisan. President Biden locked down the money for TSMC, the plant up in Phoenix for chips. So that was good. I think that there's going to be some temper in going into the budget. There were some cuts to agencies that, in my mind's eye, really were unfair because we were short. Because we were short money, the easiest way not to have arguments is just go with a 3.4% cut across the board. No matter if you were a well-run organization, whether or not that 3.4% cut would really affect your operating. In the case of the School of Deaf and Blind down here, they had a $900,000 cut. People said, well, Vince, that's not very much in an 18 billion dollar budget. Guess what? The School of Deaf and Blind, that was a lot of money. That was a lot of money.
And I appreciate those comments. Sequestration, I believe, hurt many entities throughout the United States, and particularly the military, when it was an across-the-board cut for the things that they did have control over. And a lot of times in your budget, not everything's within your control. There are must-pays. There are other things that you know you have to fund. So to cut the lowest hanging fruit and just make it unilateral and not make it an informed decision, I guess. So I hope you bring that back to the financial conversation back there, is to be
informed.
And that's
what we did. The easiest way to point that out to the listeners is on the spending side, Senator Gowen and I took a position, particularly with the universities, as they always come back for more money, as do the community colleges. give us a specific project, and I'll give you two. One is the wind tunnel for Raytheon down here at U of A, and the other is the aviation center that was put together by Lee at I know I hear the music. So.
And Senator, on that one, I want to thank you, especially for the aviation center, because it still has 100% higher rate upon completion. So it is amazing things.
It was an amazing investment.
We will have you back once you get in session so we can learn what your thoughts are. And please tune in tomorrow to Jump in Tucson with Grant Krueger. This is 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great week.